Welcome to Bodcast, the Business of Dentistry podcast, brought to you by Practice Plan. Bodcast delivers the best business advice, real-life stories, and practical hints and tips to make your practice a more profitable and sustainable business. And now, here's your host.
Hello and welcome to today's episode of Bodcast. My name is Kelly Barnard and I'm Communications Coordinator for Practice Plan. Today I'm joined by Tracy Pound. Hi Tracy.
Hi.
And we're going to talk about cybercrime. Now Tracy is the Managing Director of Maximity. Can I ask you to just give us a little bit of background about yourself, please?
Yes, of course. So I've been in tech for 34 years. I started back in the 1980s when computing was just becoming mainstream for businesses, certainly micro computing was. And in the last 19 years, I've run my own business. So we work with so many different types of companies on so many different types of projects. We get a really broad range of what's actually going on in the world of technology and IT. And I'm a director of an organisation called CompTIA, who are the Computing Technology Industry Association. So I get a very good view of what's actually happening around the world when it comes to technology. And that's quite interesting when you sit in the kind of position I do, looking after and helping people to decide what their technology strategy should be going forward.
Sounds fascinating, actually. So today we're here to talk about cybercrime. And I'm sure there'll be lots of people out there listening who think, well, I'm a small business, I'm small fry as far as criminals on the internet are concerned. But that's not entirely true, is it?
No, I mean, that's the catch. And it is that cyber criminals will look for the route of least resistance in. So just as if you have an alarm at home, people or criminals will look at that and they might walk past. Mm-hmm. The same goes with cybercrime. If you've got no defence, then they will attack.
No matter how small you are.
No matter how small. And in fact, for you to be small, they know that you're less likely to have invested in cybersecurity measures. So they know that you're a good target.
Wow, that's a bit scary, isn't it?
It is very scary.
And yet people still ignore the risks, don't they?
They do. And you see all of these big, high-profile media stories about huge corporations that have been attacked by cyber criminals. You imagine the amount of money that they spend on trying to protect themselves, and still they can get hacked. Mm. So it's very easy for hackers to make an inroad into anyone's systems unless you've got some protection mechanisms in place. And most small businesses don't see that they're a target because they don't think they've got anything worth stealing. But they have IP, they have names and addresses, they might hold bank details for their customers, they might have historical information that would allow them to then become that person in a cyber world and take on their persona. So they're after all sorts of information, not just to steal directly your personal information there and then, but to use it to form a bigger picture of who individuals are and who they might target. So even if you don't consider yourself to be somebody who's at risk, who are your clients? Do you have high profile people that you look after? Because if you do, then cyber criminals will be looking to see who sits in their sphere of influence and who could have knowledge about that individual that they can then use to build that bigger picture up. Mm. So it isn't just about you, it's about all of the people that you know that you hold information on as well.
And as a dentist, you hold lots of information.
That's right, you do. And you hold information that is very individual to a person. Mm. So, you know, the teeth are something that uniquely identifies an individual. Mm-hmm. So it is very critical to secure that type of data.
Okay, so these are the risks. What can practices do to protect their patient data?
The first thing is to make sure that they formulate strategies. So I know everybody thinks, you know, strategy is just something that's written on paper and it's put in a drawer and forgotten about. But strategies aren't designed for that. They are designed to give you direction, to give you focus, to give you guidelines to work within. And if you have a cybersecurity strategy, it should cover off areas like business continuity. How do we protect our data? What data do we hold? what's at risk, what's likely to happen, how could somebody effect a data breach, and what would the consequences of that be? So looking at things like, do you have a website and what information is available on that website? Do you have patient records that are held electronically? How are they secured? Who has access to them? Why do they have access? Where are they being backed up to? How often are they backed up? Who has access to those backups? If you've got paper files, then could somebody physically break into your office and steal those files? Now, whilst that's not technically cybercrime because it's on paper, it's the same thing that somebody is breaking in to steal your data. And people are more likely to do that now than ever before because they can use that paper-based information digitally to make out that they're somebody that they're not in reality. So it's about looking at where are you at risk as a business. So take your senior team, take a cross-range, a cross-section of all of your staff, have a brainstorming session, look at where your data sits, who does have access to it, and what's the risk of that data being breached.
And then there are things that you can put into place to stop that happening.
There are. So the relationship that you have with your IT company becomes ever more critical. Mm-hmm. And your IT support company should be recommending some basic control measures. So they should be recommending that users have only access to the data that they need to have access to, not open access to the whole network. They should be recommending that you have antivirus and anti-malware software installed on all your machines. They should be recommending and working with you on a bring your own device strategy. So if you allow people to have their own mobile phone and they have access to your corporate email via their mobile phone, how do you know what they're doing with that phone when they're at home, when they're away from the office?
And of course, if they're on a Wi-Fi network in a cafe.
Yes,
and
absolutely. That's it. And, you know, that is one of the big danger points is Wi-Fi in cafes. Because anybody can make out that they're any Wi-Fi. On my iPhone, I can set up a Wi-Fi hotspot. So I could sit in a Costa Coffee cafe, nearly said that right, and with my mobile phone, I could set up my own Wi-Fi hotspot called Costa Coffee.
Yes. Yes.
There's nothing to stop me. Nobody would know that I'm not the real Costa Coffee Wi-Fi, and they can hop onto my hotspot and I will see all their traffic.
Wow.
So it's very, very easy for people to do that. So when you're in a public place, be careful specifically about the information that you share. So don't shy away from IT and say, right, that's it. We're not having computer systems. We're going to go back to paper and pencils and things like that, because you can't run a business that way. But it's about having your eyes wide open to the risks that you do face and putting plans in place to mitigate that risk. And making sure that people stick to those. So they're there for a reason.
Yeah, and you said something interesting because you said about bringing in the whole team and brainstorming. I suppose it's a situation of you're as strong as your weakest link, aren't you? So if
yes.
the team are all involved and invested and they're all trained, that makes you less of a target because everybody's on the same page.
It does, that's right. And education is a key part when it comes to maintaining cybersecurity because it is your weakest link that will let people in. And that's been proven out by some of the very, very big hacks where it hasn't been the company that's breached, it's been their subcontractors who are smaller companies who haven't had the money or the know-how to secure their data. And it's that route in that cyber criminals have got into some big organisations. Mm. So it's not the fault of the first line company, it's their supplier base. So it really is, you have to involve everybody. Cyber security is not a technical issue per se, it is a human issue. So it needs human beings to solve it, and that's all of them.
That's really, really interesting, actually. So everybody's aware now of GDPR. Everybody received numerous emails and everybody's now up to speed. So what effect does this have on cyber risk?
GDPR is, I think, the most hated four-letter acronym going. And the problem with it is that when you look at all the emails, you know, you mentioned that everybody's had emails about GDPR. Companies have used that as an opportunity to use the data that they didn't necessarily get by a legal route to then email you to say, you know, will you opt into our data? When you've never, They should never have had that data in the first place. So I don't know about anybody else, but I've had so many more emails now as a result of GDPR. It's ridiculous. And all the websites where you have to accept the terms of their cookies and things like that before you can get on and look at content, I think that's spoiled what GDPR is about to an extent, because what GDPR is about safeguarding our personal data. That was the whole intent behind it. So if you look at the basic intent for GDPR, it is to make sure that if you hold data, it's for the right reasons, on the right company information, the right personal information, and that you don't hold it for longer than you should. So if you've got a policy around GDPR, which every organisation should now have, mm-hmm. at least as a framework, then it should be making sure that we're holding the right data at the right length of time, with the people who need to have access to that data having access to it. So it should be making life easier for us. It's not going to, for some companies, for a while, because they've got so much data that is in so many different places, it makes it really complicated to try and pull that together under one strategy. But ultimately, it's for our benefit. It's to safeguard our data. So it needs to be taken very, very seriously. And it will help you with your cybersecurity, because it's making sure that you only have access to the right data from the right people, that you don't hold information that's out of date or old for longer than you need to. So it's limiting the use of data in the right way to make sure that people can't get unauthorised access to it.
That all seems to make perfect sense, actually. Finally, there's just one thing. If, obviously, there'll be lots of people out there listening now thinking, actually, I'm probably more exposed than I thought I was. Where is a good place for them to start? You mentioned their IT companies, but just a few top tips, maybe, or where should you start if you think you may be at risk?
Start with your IT support company, because they will be the technical start point for making sure that you've got your system secured. From there, I would go to the ICO website. So the ICO is the Information Commissioner's Office. They're the people who look after GDPR for us in the UK, and they have lots of tips on how to usefully implement GDPR. So GDPR is an important component to cybersecurity. Start with ICO and start with your IT support company.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. That's been really, really informative today.
You're very welcome. Thank you.